of everything as some people are, but I guess the thing is for the outgoing trustee to have a devotional meditation. I'm assuming if I was bashful, I would still have been asked, but anyway. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, I want to get a few thoughts there. 1 Corinthians 12 is a very familiar passage. It talks about the body. It's a metaphor that talks about the church. And I'll be breaking in here at verse 12 and reading about 13, 14 verses, something like that. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, and whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care, one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you're the body of Christ, and members in particular. So Paul here is using this very familiar metaphor of the body and how that applies the physical body to the body of Christ. You know, I think of us here as a group, those of us that are gathered and the bigger group, those that aren't gathered here this evening, we are like a body with many different parts. We are like the hand and the eyes and the ears. What are all the different things that were mentioned here in this passage? You know, there's highly visible offices in a church, and they're relatively invisible, under the radar offices in a church. But it's the coordination of all those different parts working together that make the church function well. And this evening, where we're thinking of a little bit of the nuts and bolts and me just having come off of the trustees, there's a fair amount of those nuts and bolts-ish type things that we're looking at or that we're thinking about. You know, just for a Sunday morning service, there's a lot of players that have to come forward to make it happen. There's your regular pastors that are preparing for a long time ahead for the message you're going to bring. The one who has the devotional meditation for the each one who has the Sunday school. And those are kind of the spiritual parts of it, the song leader. But we have the ushers that are here early, setting up chairs. We have Harold, bless his heart, checking by about every day to make sure the place hasn't burned down or whatever all he does. There's just a lot of physical types of things that if one person had to do all of that, it would be a pretty big responsibility. Some of those functions take a lot of forethought, a lot of planning, maybe the preparation for a message, that kind of thing. And but there's others that take less of that. You know, when our physical bodies are healthy, and those of us that are the age I am, we probably are taking it less for granted than we did 20 years ago. And there's things that ache when you get up and that don't move when you want them to as much, that kind of thing. But we take for granted the function, the coordination of those 206 bones, the 600-some muscles, and the 78 organs. They do their job, and we hardly notice. But when something malfunctions, like Levon when he got up the other morning, like my wife with her chronic pain, or when we have a sudden, what was that? You know, what am I feeling in my chest, or that kind of thing. Or when the doctor confirms that that lump, yes, in fact, is cancerous, and we'll need to get a treatment protocol in place. Then we realize what we are missing or what we are taking for granted. And I think in our church services, we very much take for granted the good function of our church and the different parts. This evening, so part of my goal is to salute all of you selfless, sacrificial servants. Paul wrestles with that visibility issue, the more visible offices, or those more fun or more desired, that kind of thing. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. You know, it takes humility, I think, to clean a restroom at a church or at home, probably. We have a church, a list for people to clean the church house. It's not because it's so people aren't fighting over the job, it's so it gets done. Our perfect example, Jesus, gave us some very pertinent advice. Listen to his words in Mark 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Also, Matthew 20, 26, breaking in here. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Not only did Jesus teach humility, he lived it. In Philippians, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi there, and he says that Jesus did not hold his equality with God as something to be grasped, but he came as a servant. I'm not getting the quote exactly, but that's the idea. At the Last Supper, he demonstrated humility to his disciples by bending and washing their feet, even as they were jockeying for positions of power and prestige. Well, for us, the elections are passed. I'm talking about the Sunday school elections in September, August, whenever it was. And you've been tasked with a new job in church. Maybe it's a job you didn't really want and that you had no say in. Ironically, in spite of our theological leanings in the Armenian camp, our annual reorganization seemed to be more along the Protestant predestination and election. But anyway, so you landed a new job and you're not really overly into it. What are you going to do about it? Anyone have a quick... I wasn't planning to have a discussion here, but actually, you look like you might have some good ideas here.
Just do it.
Just do it? Okay. There we go.
Serve as cheerfully as you hope the person will serve you put on someplace.
Okay. Okay. There might be just a few ways that we could check ourselves. Would I be willing and happy to accept this job if it was a little more visible and a little more prestigious. If that affects us a lot, maybe our heart, our servant heart, needs a bit of a tune-up. If everyone would support just like I do, where would the church be? We cut ourselves a lot of slack. If it takes too much effort on a Wednesday evening, we don't come. Just how would it be if everybody would have decided that on a given Wednesday evening? Last Wednesday evening, Titus and Shane would have had a pretty lonely slog. If we think of applying our exceptions to everybody, what if we're getting a little bit slack about not getting a check in the offering every Sunday? What if one Sunday everybody would do that? The slack that we've cut ourselves, and then Pilgrim School would end up with a couple of big zeros. Anyway, I'm wanting to challenge myself. I want to go on record as having saluted your selfless, sacrificial servants. But I acknowledge that sometimes I'm a slacking, slouching, shirking sluggard. Okay, and thirdly, let's not be too dismissive of the assignments that we've been given. How often have you had an assignment that you were kind of dreading, and by the time the year played out or your term played out or whatever, you found it a real blessing? Sometimes God wants to push us out of our comfort zones, and in that way, we can be a blessing and we can bless others. Let me close with Ephesians 6, verses 7 and 8. Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. So there is a blessing in serving others. And seriously, and I might mention it again in my report, but we are very blessed with many of you and of your servant attitudes that you have been demonstrating. And that's part of what makes that body function so well. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this body here. We thank you for the way that we've been able to be blessed and to bless each other. I just pray that you bless this evening, each of the reports, that we would be challenged with the things that you are doing here and be encouraged to pick up where we have let down. Just go with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.